Good morning, everyone. For those of you who didn't know I was preaching because I wasn't wearing my shirt, haha, gotcha. Yeah, we got to keep you guys guessing, right? But this week has been a very busy week, like Jen said. It's been a very busy month since party in the parking lot, pretty much. But last week, Gene spoke a little bit about timing and about hearing God's voice and leaving things to God and letting him confirm them through his time. She gave that example of like she had a message or a word and she's like, oh, Robert, I got to tell you this. And he's like, nah, don't hear it. You know, it was too soon. It wasn't God's timing. He heard it that night in his quiet time with God. And then the next day he's like, okay, yes. Right. And she quoted Psalm 37, verse 23, and one of the things she said there is that it's not the end of the journey, it's our steps that matter. Every single step of the way is what counts. It's taking that step. It's taking that step. It's taking that step. It doesn't matter where you end up. It's being faithful in each of those little individual steps. And when Corey went into hospital last weekend and trying to figure out what's going on and what are we doing this week? And then he messaged me on Wednesday, I think, and like, hey, Mary, do you want to preach? I'm like, no. No. But like, have you ever felt God calling you to something and your first response was, Lord, you got the wrong person? Not this week. No. I was sick. We were busy. We had skating carnival yesterday. We had people over like every night this week. We had hockey in Grimshaw. It was just like, I take like 10 days to prepare a sermon. I have 4. What am I going to talk about, Lord? And so then I said, you know, that whole spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak type of thing. Inside, I was like, no, I'm just going to wait a little bit. Someone else will answer. Nobody else answered. Like, okay, God, yes. Really? You've still got the wrong person. But I was reminded of something that I was part of in 2023. I did the School of Ministry online. It was an online diploma in ministry and preaching and stuff. And it was one of the sessions that we did. And I believe that what I was feeling then, this week, was exactly how Moses felt. And some of you will be going like, huh? Moses? Why? So God called Moses at the burning bush, right? We all know that story. You know, he's out there tending his sheep in the middle of the desert. That's burning, but it's not being consumed. What's going on over there? Goes over holy ground. God talks to him. When God called him to that burning bush, he wasn't a confident leader. He wasn't a polished speaker. He had murdered someone and run away, was living in the way back of beyond. I went and looked up, like, how far was Midian from Egypt? And scholars differ. It's anywhere from 300 kilometers to 1,200 kilometers. You know, now this was before the advent of motorized transport. So imagine running away for 300 kilometers. Imagine running away to Yellowknife, you know, 1,200 kilometers. That was far. And he didn't like, oh, I'm taking all my stuff. We know that he killed someone. He ran. He just upped and left. He didn't take his chariot with him, his Prince of Egypt stuff. He just went. And so he was a nobody out there. You know, he had the clothes on his back, literally. He'd picked up a staff because now he was watching sheep. So he had a stick and that's it. That's what he had. He wasn't this confident leader, this amazing outgoing speaker. God was calling a man with a stutter in his mouth and a stick in his hand. You know, when you think of like, oh, world leaders, do they stutter? Do they have a stick in their hand? No. We have a different perception, right? So two things Moses thought disqualified him, his weakness and his ordinary life. In scripture there, it says that, Lord, I struggle to speak, you know, his stutter. And then he's like, I'm just a shepherd. What are you going to do with me? I can't go talk to Pharaoh. So today I want to dig down a little bit into this. If you want to give this talk a title in your notes, it's Staff and Stutter. And we're going to dive a little bit deeper into all of this. So today's message is simple. but it's deep, hopefully. God uses both our stutter and our staff. Think of yourself like Moses. Your weakness and our ordinary gifts, that staff is Moses' ordinary thing that he had picked up to accomplish his extraordinary plan. So Moses' stutter was on full display. His weakness was there. He said to the Lord, you know, I struggle to talk. So when God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh, Moses' first reaction isn't right. Yes, I can do this. Let's go. It's insecurity. It's like, no, I can't. So Moses feels unworthy. In Exodus 3 verse 11, so today's scripture passage is Exodus 3 and 4, and then a bunch of other things. But so in Exodus 3 verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Like he's like, I'm a nobody. I can't go and talk to Pharaoh, even though I grew up with him, right? Even though he was technically like a brother. Moses doubts his identity, his value, his place in God's plan. Why would people even listen to him? Why would people even listen to this shepherd from the Yellowknife, you know? Like, if you're a shepherd from Yellowknife, there's way easier things to tend out there than sheep, right? He doesn't know enough. He doesn't know what to say. What does Moses do when he goes and talks to Pharaoh? And I felt the same this week. I was like, I don't know enough to just do a sermon in 3 days. That was my weakness, my stutter. I'm not a theologian. I didn't go to Bible school for 7 years. You know, I didn't study like my dad and my father-in-law and get a degree in theology and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I did a 4-month online course in ministry. Where does that put me, right? What do I know about preaching? So the next point there is Moses fears rejection. In Exodus 4 verse 1, it says, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? Now, these are all things that all of us experience. You know, like, well, I can't get up there and talk to a bunch of people. You know, you get invited to be the guest speaker at a high school graduation. You're like, why me? I'm just a nobody. You know, what do I have to offer? You know, what happens if they don't like what I say? What happens if they don't like how I look? You know, today I purposefully didn't put on my preaching shirts, because it's not about the identity that I present. It's about the message that God wants me to bring. And I was like, but people don't know I'm preaching then. You know, this is now how's this going to work, God? But trusting him in that. So we fear rejection. Moses feared rejection. He imagines the worst. It's one of our biggest fears, is being rejected by somebody. You present something, you get, you know, you want to talk to them and like, meh, nah, not today, thanks, bye. Okay, you know, we are good at thinking the worst. We really are. And we see this on repeat throughout the Bible. There are lots of prophets and lots of scriptures where they're like, God, no, I can't do this. What happens if they don't accept me? What happens if they don't listen? And I'll give you a few examples a bit later. The next thing there, that Moses had a speech limitation. So all of these things kind of fall under the stutter, the weakness, right? In Exodus 4 verse 10 says, oh Lord, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He lays it out for God there. You know, God, I stutter. I'm not good at talking. I'm not smooth or impressive or well-groomed or, you know, this like get up there and can talk the hind leg off a donkey type of thing. And everyone's like, oh, that's amazing. You know, I don't know where the saying comes from. Why would you want to talk the hind leg off of a donkey? But we say it. And the last thing that Moses does there in terms of his stutter and his weakness, he tries to refuse that calling. He says there in Exodus 4 verse 13, please, Lord, send someone else. Not me. Don't do this. You know, it's not rebellion, but that was fear talking. That was the inadequacy. That was the human nature saying, I can't do this, God. And we all know that most of the time we can't. We need God to move forward. But notice how God responds here. He does not remove Moses' stutter. He does not fix what Moses sees as his weaknesses, as his inadequacies, as what's broken. Instead, he asks a question. In Exodus 4, verse 11, "Who made man's mouth?" is what God asks Moses. In other words, Moses, it's no surprise that you stutter. You know, like, I made you. I know what you, how you talk. I'm reminded when I was growing up, we used to listen to a Christian comedian called Mark Lowry. And one of the things he said in one of his stories, it was his series after he'd been in the big semi accident and stuff. He's really funny. If you have a chance, go and listen to him. But we grew up listening to him on a cassette player as we were driving around Zimbabwe. So one of his lines is like, when you play tag with an 18-wheeler, you're it. Like, you're it. But one of the things he said that struck me is that, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? We're like, huh, right? That's this here. God wasn't surprised by Moses' stutter. He knew exactly who he was calling to him at the burning bush. He knew exactly who Moses was, what his weaknesses were. Now, if we look at other prophets and people in the Bible, Moses was not the only one that was afraid to do what God was calling and was afraid that people wouldn't listen and was afraid that people wouldn't accept him. Jeremiah was afraid that he was too young. Jeremiah 1 verse 6 is like, God, my youth, what, my youth, people aren't going to accept me because of my youth. And what did God say to him in verse 7 and 8? Do not be afraid, for I am with you. He didn't wait until he got older. He said, you're still going. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Isaiah felt unclean. He said, I can't do this. I am too impure to be your messenger. And what did God do? He cleansed his lips and sent him on. Jonah, he ran away entirely. He was like, God, not me. I'm going that way. You know, and what did God do? Picked a different mode of transport, you know, and sent him back. Ezekiel was told people wouldn't listen to him before he even went. Now imagine you say, okay, I'm going to be speaking at some special conference or something. And then the organizer's like, just so you know, nobody there's going to listen to you anyway. You're like, how much? It's a great confidence booster. You know, like, yo, I am good to go now. Nobody's going to listen to me. Ezekiel was given that before he even started. And God sent him into guaranteed rejection. And we see that weighs on Ezekiel and it was a burden, but he was still obedient and he still went. Elijah hid in fear for his life. You know, in 1 Kings 19, verse 3 to 4 and 10, he was hiding from Jezebel in fear of her killing him, but God saved him. God moved through each and every single one of those prophets. Gideon feared rejection, insignificance, inadequacy, very similar to Moses' story. Like, God, I'm no one. You know, Judges 6, verse 15, my clan is the weakest. I am the smallest. I am the least in my father's house. And you want me to go and lead this army? You know, and God says, yes, but you're not going to take the whole army. We're going to whittle those down and we're going to make it even smaller than you think you can possibly defeat anybody with. God used those weaknesses. Hosea's whole life story, it was fear of shame. His entire calling brought potential for shame and judgment and rejection, but Hosea was obedient to God. And you think, oh, well, that's only the Old Testament, you're right, you know. No, both Paul and Timothy trembled with the weight of their message. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3. In every one of those cases, God didn't choose fearless, strong leaders. God chose faithful servants despite their shortcomings and their weaknesses. That's who he chose in Moses. He chose a faithful servant. It didn't matter who or what the person was. They were faithful and obedient. So the first truth I want to focus on today is our weaknesses do not disqualify us from being used by God. It's the invitation. God can show his power. Our weakness amplifies that. We need to simply accept that invite, be obedient, and do, go, say, whatever it is God is calling you to do. So the second thing now, so that was the stutter. Those were the weaknesses. That was Moses's man identity, so to speak. God saw it and said, I'm going to use you regardless, and I'm going to use you in spite of, and it's going to be powerful. Moses also had a staff, right? After Moses complains of his stutter, God shifts the subject of the conversation. In Exodus 4, verse 2, he asks, what's in your hand? I was like, it's a stick, right? It's my shepherd's crook. It's a stick. Now, if it was like the traditional one that had a little crook on the end, you know, like walks around the bush for a few days, like, ooh, there it is, right? That's the, you know, that tree's got the right bend, or if it's carved, I don't know. But anyway, it was a stick made out of wood that he used to fend off wild animals, probably climb steep things, you know, poke a sheep when it's not going the right direction, pull one back. We know what a shepherd's crook is. Something completely ordinary. You pick it up on the ground and you can use it. How many of us go camping and we're like, especially as little kids, oh, there's a stick. You know, like, there's millions of sticks. Why that one? What makes it special? Nothing. They're ordinary. But what did God do with the stick? What did God do with the ordinary? The staff became a sign, right? So Exodus 4, verses 3 to 4, it turned into a serpent and back into a stick again. It was a sign. God was saying, here, this is a sign. It became Moses's, well, it became God's instrument that Moses was using for miracles. We look at him striking the Nile, turned it into blood. Right? Exodus 7. Used the staff to call down plagues. Exodus 7 to 10. Parted the Red Sea with the staff. Exodus 14. Bringing water from the rock. Exodus 17. Victory in battle as that stick was held up. Right? Exodus 17 verse 8. This was the same simple staff that Moses walked up to that burning bush with. It wasn't something special given to him. It wasn't something that was descended out of heaven on this light beam, you know, that was suddenly special and everything like that. Nothing special about it. But once Moses surrendered to God, that ordinary thing became supernatural. And so the second truth today is that God uses what's already in our hands. God uses the ordinary things that he's already given us to accomplish his extraordinary work. And often we're like, God, you know, you're calling me to do this thing, whatever. Let's use children's church as an example. You know, there's an advert up there. And you're saying, okay, God, you're going to give me this amazing burning desire or a revelation or something. And God says, no, you're going to use what I've already put in your hand. We often think that we're called to do something with an amazing gift or something extra. But God calls us with what we have. He called Moses to that burning bush with the literal clothes on his back, the stick in his hand, and his stutter. So what is your staff? What are your things that God has given you that you might think of as normal, but that God can use? To give you a few examples, it might be a skill you think is insignificant. It's a life experience that you'd rather forget, a hard one. A job that seems ordinary, a relationship in front of you or developing, a small opportunity that you didn't necessarily choose. What's your stuff? What are the things that God can use that become powerful when we put them in God's hands? But there's something else we need to see here about Moses' staff. It wasn't just a symbol of God's power. It also became a test of his obedience. Later on in the story of Moses, when the people cried out for water again. So the first time they cried out for water, God said, strike the rock. And he struck the rock and water flowed. The second time, God did not tell Moses to strike the rock. No, this time the instruction was different. In Numbers 20, verse 8, God told Moses, speak to the rock. But in frustration, Moses lifted his staff and struck the rock, not once, but twice. Now water still came, and this is important, because even in our failure, God is faithful. However, what I believe happened here is that Moses misrepresented God's heart. He relied rather on something that he had experienced before, striking the rock, than the new instruction, speak. Because maybe he's like, well, this has worked in the past. I'm just going to hit the rock like last time. Even though God told me to speak, I'm just going to do it this way. He also spoke harshly to the people. In Numbers 20, verse 10, he starts off by saying, listen, you rebels, right? And that's not what God told him to say. I believe that that was Moses, the man, speaking, and not a reflection of God being angry. The last thing that happened at this specific instance is that he took credit for this miracle. In verse 10, must we bring you water out of this rock? That moment of disobedience cost him the promise of the promised land. At that point in time, God said to him, you will not enter the promised land. God still kept using him. God still used him to lead the people. But there was a consequence for the disobedience. And so I want to highlight a few things from this story before we move on here in terms of your staff, what God's giving you to use, what you have. God's gifts must be used in God's ways. The staff was a gift. Moses used it in a way that God asked him not to. He said, speak, and Moses used the staff. God wanted a miracle of words. Moses used a miracle of physical hitting the rock. Old strategies are not always right for new seasons. So what worked in the past, it still worked because God is faithful, but it cost Moses a legacy. He could have been the person that brought people out of Egypt, through the desert, into the promised land. Instead, God used him to get his people there, but he was not able to enter the promised land. So we need to be obedient to what God is saying to us, because what happened in the past might not be what God's plan is for this new season. I believe God wants willingness and obedience more than force. That story tells us exactly that. God still honored the miracle because he hit the rock, but there was consequence to pay because Moses wasn't obedient. He wasn't willing to trust God. And then the last thing in this story is God cares how his leaders represent him. If you go and read that story, God says there, you, not in so many words, but Moses misrepresented the heart of God to the people by saying, well, you rebels, you know, he was angry with the people, but that was Moses, not God. So Moses succeeded when he obeyed with his staff and stumbled when he relied on the staff instead of God's voice. There is a very important distinction there. We are to use the tools that God gives us in God's ways. We need to be listening to his voice. So looking at the overall theme here, so we have the staff, God's provision and empowerment, right? These things that he's given us, the ordinary, everyday things that God uses in an extraordinary way. The stutter, Moses' weakness, right? Those things that we struggle with. In this story where Moses hit the rock, striking the rock was human control instead of faithful obedience. So understand that the staff, while God used it, Moses abused it. He took that gift and used it in his own way, and it had consequences. We know the passage, God works all things to good for those who trust him. God did. He still brought water out of the rock. But human control rather than faithful obedience had some consequences there. And so now, moving on in the story, God's strength, what he formed in Moses during that time. So Moses was a nobody with a stutter. He had a stick and that's it. He encountered God at the burning bush. Despite Moses' stutter, despite his doubt, his reluctance, his repeatedly saying to God at the burning bush there, God, I think you've got the wrong person. No, really, God, I don't want to do this. No, God, please pick somebody else. Despite all of those, God made Moses into one of the greatest leaders in Scripture. Moses became obedient, right? In the beginning, God said to him, you're going to do this. And he's like, no, I really think you got the wrong person, you know? That's not obedience. Moses became obedient. In Exodus 7, verse 6, Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded. So in spite of his hiccup at the rock, instead of speaking to it, he struck it. The Bible does tell us that Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded. The second thing there is Moses became intimate with God. In Exodus 33, verse 11, God spoke with Moses face to face. There was a relationship there. He became intimate with God. In order for us to move from being at that burning bush and into what God wants to tell us and wants to do for us and into the steps and the path that God wants to lead us, we have to have that relationship with Him face to face. There isn't any other way that you can hear God and be perceptive and sensitive to what He's trying to tell you unless you're in a relationship with Him. We might get a big word or a revelation or an experience, but in order for us to be hearing God's voice, we need to be in that relationship with Him. Moses becomes humble. So in Numbers 12, verse 3, it says, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Like, I've met a few humble people in my life, but to have that said about you, to be the most humble person on the whole earth, that is recorded in Scripture. That is a testimony. Here was a man raised as a prince, probably not very humble when he was a prince. You know, royalty, they have certain ways. Humility is not necessarily one of the things they get taught. But he became the most humble person on the face of the earth. And lastly there, Moses became powerful. Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 to 12. No prophet like Moses with signs, wonders, and mighty acts. Now, as I was reading these scriptures and going through this, there was something that I only just realized. Moses didn't become exceptional. He didn't become great because he was gifted or special. He was none of those things. Moses became great because he was willing and obedient. He was faithful in spite of his stutter, in spite of his weaknesses. Moses' power didn't come from his mouth. That was a weakness. You know, if you go, someone comes up to you and says they're in a position of authority and they start with, well, Barry, I need, like, straight away you're like, where's this going? You know, do you take that person seriously? No, Moses' power didn't come from his mouth. It didn't come from what he said. It came from his simple obedience to what God was telling him to do. Albeit very back and forth in the beginning, you know, God, Moses is like, not me, God, you got to pick someone else. You know, well, I can't even do this. I can't even talk properly. Well, God fixed those, not in the way Moses thought, but God still used it. Moses' power didn't flow through his strength. It flowed through his weaknesses. Moses was probably very physically strong, you know, looking after sheep, living in the desert, walking. I don't think they had most of the common things like us, you know, like where if we had to walk to Nautiku and be like, yeah, I'm done for the day, you know, maybe for the week. Now I got to sit behind my desk. No, these guys covered tens of kilometers every day. They were strong. They lifted. They carried water. They carried sheep. They carried food. You know, that was a strength. Why didn't God use something that he already had a lot of? No, God used a weakness. And it didn't flow through Moses' strength. God's power flowed through his weaknesses. And so how do we apply this to our lives? You know, you look at Moses and you think, oh, that's a great story. What does it mean for me? What does it mean for us? How do I take this story in the Bible and all those other prophets? You know, like, I'm too young, you know, some of the kids here, like, well, I'm never going to be this or that because I'm too young. No, God uses what you have. So I want to ask you some questions. You don't have to answer, but I would like you to think about them, because Moses had to think about them. He had to be willing and faithful. We all know what our weaknesses are. We all know we are good at things and we all know we are bad at things. We all know we have strengths that we can do and we all know that there are things that we cannot do. You know, if you ask me to bake a cake, don't eat it. Like, right? Don't eat it. But I like being creative, just not with baking stuff. Right? So we all have our strengths and weaknesses. So what is your stutter? What is your insecurity, your fear, your limitations? What flaw makes you feel that, God, you can't use me? This is what's holding me back. Now, God doesn't hide from your weakness. He works through it. We often hide behind our weakness. If, to use an example, say, for example, you didn't like talking in front of people, you know, this is not the place for you, right here up front, if that was you. But I can think of a perfect example, Chris Lindbergh. Many of you knew him when he was young. I didn't. But he had a stutter. He couldn't talk in front of people. And now God is using him in ministry. You know, his stutter is gone. God used that weakness. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, my power is made perfect in weakness. We have to be willing to listen to what God is telling us, to allow him to use what he has given us for the extraordinary. His power is made perfect in weakness. So now, what is your staff? What is the thing that God has given you that God wants to use or can use or you are willing to surrender for him to use? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your testimony. Your compassion. Maybe you've got leadership skills that nobody knows about. Maybe you're crafty. Not like shifty crafty, but like creative crafty. You know, maybe you're a really good encourager. You have influence in your family or in the community. Your experiences, even the hard ones. What is your staff? What is the ordinary thing that has happened or you have in your life that God wants to use, that God can use for amazing things? Whatever it is, whatever you are thinking now in your head is your strength, your staff. God can use it once you surrender it. Humility and obedience are the key things that Moses had. The heart of it is that our weakness invites God's power. Our obedience is what activates it. You know, we are all weak. The invitation is there. It says it in the Bible. But our obedience is what activates that power. You know, you can't just be like, well, God, you know, you said I should do something. So I'm just going to sit here and I'm doing something. I'm sitting here. You're going to use me. Like, no, that's not what God said. He said I need to go do something. Doing is an action word. Sitting while in action, you're not doing anything, right? We need to be obedient to activate the potential in our lives. So Moses approached that burning bush with two things: his stutter, which he wished he didn't have, and a staff that he never thought was important. It was just part of his get together as he walked towards the burning bush. Now God used Moses as he was, as he came to that bush. He used both of those things. His stutter kept him humble and the staff made him effective. Right? God used what Moses came with. He knows exactly who you are. You know, like I said earlier, Moses was like, God, like, I can't talk. And God's like, am I surprised? No, I created you. I know exactly who you are, what your shortcomings are, what you struggle with, insecurities, anxiety, a stutter, whatever it is. God knows exactly. And what he had, God used to make him effective, the staff. And in God's hands, the man who said, Lord, please send someone else. You know, Moses knelt. Actually, I don't know when he said that, if he was standing, sitting, kneeling, at the burning bush. He said, Lord, please send someone else, not me. That same man became the man who stood before kings, parted the seas, performed miracles, wrote scripture, and led a nation. So today, I want to ask you as we close off here, what's in your hand? What's in your hand that God wants to use, that you would be willing and obedient to surrender to God? And secondly, will you trust God with your weakness? Will you trust Him with your stutter? You know, like, God, I can't really talk well, and I feel you're calling me into ministry. Okay, well, it's on you now. I trust you, you know. And God never disappoints. God is faithful. So listen to what God is calling you into and be willing to obey. We often hear God. We more often than not don't necessarily obey. Be like, I know God told me to do this, X, Y, Z. I know God told me to speak to the rock. I'm just going to hit it because last time it worked. It still worked, but not the way God wanted it to work, and there were consequences for that. Bring God your ordinary, whatever it is, life, thoughts, talents, skills, job, experiences, whatever you think, like, oh, this is just me, I'm ordinary, you know, bring that to God. Bring your staff and your stutter and surrender and watch Him do what only God can do with those things. And so, as we go into a new week, I want you to focus on the staff and the stutter. I want to challenge you, where are these things in my life? What is my staff? What is my stutter? God, am I listening to you? Yes. Am I obeying what you're telling me to do? Because only in obedience and faithfulness can God work. He will work in spite of, even if you decide, God, I'm being called to become a pastor. I'm going to go study accounting and become an accountant. God works for good. God works all things for good for those who trust Him, right? In spite of Moses disobeying, the Israelites didn't die of thirst. God still gave them their miracle. But how much more would God have given them if Moses had been faithful? How much more would Moses have participated in the promise of the promised land if he had been obedient? So think about these things as you go into your week. Identify those ordinary things in your life where God is saying, might be saying to you, or you suddenly like, oh, I can use this, my job, my life, my relationships, my experiences. God wants to use you. God wants you to be the person that can be the best. He has a plan for you. Like Gene talked about last week, those steps, every single one of them is important. So bring God your staff and your stutter. Be obedient to what He's telling you to do. And if you don't know what He's telling you to do, dig deeper. Develop that relationship like Moses. You know, you're not going to find out what somebody wants you to do if you don't even know them. You know, if I worked for Carol and she was my boss and I never spoke to her, what am I meant to do? Okay, I'm going to go paint your house. No, I hired you. Okay. You know, Carol might be like, no, I hired you to drive the truck and you're painting the house. You don't know if you don't have that relationship. So develop that relationship. Move into the obedience and the faithfulness and the willingness to let God use what you have. Don't expect this big shining light coming from heaven. Let Him use what you have. And so, Father, as we go into this week, help us to think like Moses, that we recognize our stutter, but we also recognize our staff and allow You to speak to us and be obedient to what You want to say to us, how You want us to move and work, whether it be our job, life, experiences, whatever it is, Lord. I pray that each person here would be given insight this week, today, into what it is that You want to use them for and how they need to be obedient to You. Amen. So if you would like prayer or you want to talk about something, feel free to come up, but we are done for the day. But you are not, because you have to go listen and obey. But I hope you have a blessed week. We will see you, if not on Wednesday, next weekend. Be blessed.